Mark chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 14. Today we're going to continue to look at the kingdom. I felt like the Lord wanted us to revisit some of the truths about the kingdom. Dan Paxton, who oversees the vineyard in Waterloo, says that we need to continue to revisit the truths because they leak out of us. That what happens is over time, those things kind of leak away. And so it's important to be reminded of the truth. Just as it is important for you to read Scripture and to spend time with the Lord. Why? Because those things remind us of the truth. This world has a way of kind of sapping the life out of us and drawing things away from us. And so it's important to revisit those truths in order that we might be reminded, so we might live in freedom. If you know the truth will set you free. Now, it's interesting that knowing is something far greater than just an intellectual understanding of the fact that it's been expressed. It really is where it is integrated into our very being, to know it where we experience it. And that's one of the attributes of the kingdom of God, is that the kingdom of God is to be experienced. It isn't just to be talked about. And so come from a tradition where you gathered a lot of information, and there's nothing wrong with information as long as it's applied. When you go to school, when you go to college, the idea is that you learn your skills and abilities there in order that it might produce an experience that allows you to be a better person, to actually accomplish something, to be a benefit to this culture. And so there is a goal for information as long as it's used. The same is true in the church. You can gather a lot of information. You can go through every kind of training thing. But if you don't use it, what good is it? Of what value is it? We need to use what God has given to us. We need to be good stewards of that in order for it to actually have value. And so the book of Mark, and we'll be visiting periodically, because the entire book really highlights foundationally an understanding of true kingdom reality. We talk a lot about kingdom here at the Vineyard. Why? Because we're a kingdom movement church. In other words, it's the filter that we use by looking when we look at Scripture. We need to understand that. Every one of us has filters. We've talked about that before. Your family of origin and your peers created within you a filter that cause you to look at things in a particular way. One of the things, if you look at the political system, the same thing can happen, and you can have two different groups see it very differently, can't you? Why? Because you have a different filter. You have a different way of looking at the very same thing. As you watch the media, you can tell what filters they might have, can't you? As they express certain things. It's interesting, as I read, I'm reading the Globe Gazette, we have a subscription to it, and I'm sure it's true with other media, but I read the headlines and the descriptions of it, and then as I read through the article, I go, I don't know that I would agree with the information that's being provided with the statement at the top. It actually, I think at times, doesn't actually communicate what is really in the heart or in the body of the letter or the article that's written there. It's as if I just read the headline, I would have a different, or read the title to an article, I would have a different perception of what was going on than as I read the information, sort of the blow-by-blow of what took place. And I begin to realize that there's a very powerful filter there that's created. And so I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying that we all have filters. We all have ways of looking at it. And as a result of that, we need to understand that we are susceptible to misunderstanding things. Now, as we draw that into a kingdom revelation, you and I need a kingdom filter. And so if I can do anything in your life, it's to help you embrace a kingdom filter of this world. In other words, that Jesus Christ is Lord, He is ruler, He reigns over this earth. Now, we know that there's an enemy, but the truth of the matter is that in the end, God wins. Now, the interesting thing is you don't have to wait to the end of your life or the end of this age in order to win. The message of the gospel of the kingdom is that it breaks through and we have heaven coming to earth. And so as we look at the book of Mark, we begin to see Jesus revealing to us as a forerunner, Hebrews. We've talked about Hebrews. We've been through the entire book not too long ago. And one of their very powerful truths about that book is that Jesus is a forerunner. In other words, he shows us the way to the Father, and he shows us how to live in the kingdom. So now, as we look at the book of Mark, we need to understand, we need to look at it with kingdom filters. When I was raised in the church, the kingdom was mentioned. I mean, you read scripture, you see it all the time. But I didn't see it. You know, you can read about it, but you don't see it. You can hear about it, but you don't understand. And so we need a Holy Spirit revelation in those particular, and it was mentioned that with one of the words that was spoken about God speaking into a particular area that needs, another way it might be saying this might be that God needs to speak into those areas where the kingdom is not fully expressed or realized. Each one of us has blind spots, places of wound, difficulty, and you and I need a kingdom that will penetrate those things so that they are no longer held captive by the kingdom of darkness. They're no longer slaves to the enemy. We need divine revelation in order to break the power of the work of the enemy, to change the way we look at things, and then we live out of a different place. It's very, very powerful and very, very important that you and I get that. I was ministering to someone too long ago, and there was a profound shift in this individual's way of looking at things as the Holy Spirit gave me a couple words to speak. And it was like all of a sudden, you could just see like something fell off of this person. And it was like they saw it differently. There was a God moment where they changed the way they thought about a particular thing. And I'm not going to share it with you. Why? Because it's going to be the topic of the next sermon that I teach. Okay? So you need to come back. Okay? You need to come back and find out what God is saying. And it applies to each one of us, and it is very powerful and very enlightening. And it was kind of like, this is what I find fascinating with God. It's when you capture the revelation, then all of a sudden you go, duh. But, you know, if it doesn't penetrate and actually bring light, you can actually say that you believe this, but it doesn't bring about radical spiritual transformation. That's the goal of the kingdom, is to bring about radical transformation. Not just peacefully coexisting with the kingdom of darkness in this realm. No. No, God fully intends to break the power of the enemy. Jesus said, I came to undo the work of the enemy. So that leads nicely into going to the scripture here, because as we watch Jesus, we will see how he undoes the work of the enemy in our lives and the lives of other people. So we'll start with chapter 1, verse 14 through 20, and then 21 through 28. Let's take a look at that. Chapter 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he says. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. But when a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently, came out of him, and with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Scripture reveals to us your truth. Lord, I ask that today our hearts would be open to a fresh revelation of your kingdom work in our lives and through our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that John has been put in prison. He was a forerunner of Jesus. And then at this point, Jesus' ministry is basically launched. Why? John is kind of now taken out of the limelight. He was sort of the one who actually had a great following, and Jesus now steps into that place. John was to repent. That was his message. Jesus says, now he builds upon what John came to speak. Repent and believe the good news, that the kingdom of God is near. We talk a lot about that. We see that particularly in Mark, and we'll see it in all of the other Gospels. The kingdom is at hand. It's near. In other words, the whole idea is you can take hold of it. You and I have the power to grab hold of the kingdom. In other words, that is your part in it. That is my part in it, is that we seize the kingdom of God. We take it. Why? Because God wants a response. This is not a relationship of passivity. This is a relationship that aggressively pursues Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Three in one. And so, Jesus came teaching the good news, and he says, repent. In other words, and we've talked about repentance. Hopefully we've gotten that through us. But repentance is basically agreeing with God. It's changing the way we think. Now, you and I might think that we agree with God, but there still may be places that we're blind. We're still where we're not fully agreeing with God. The Holy Spirit wants to place his hand on that particular area and actually bring revelation that allows us to change the way we think. For us, as members of the kingdom of God, as saved believers, you and I are called to agree with God, not to resist him, not to resist his truth, not to fight with God. Now, you may have came from a family where you fought, okay? But the kingdom of God is not about a family that fights. Now, maybe you experienced the church where people fought. That's an unfortunate situation. Why? Because we know that in that, they're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Violence and fighting and all of that discord is the work of the kingdom of darkness. There will be times where we'll be attacked by those kinds of things, but you and I need to grow in our love of God and love for each other so that we don't fall prey to the lie of the enemy. And so, Jesus comes preaching, the kingdom is at hand. Take hold of it. You need, you and I, because this sermon is not just for you, it's for me too, right? Yeah. It's for me. We need to repent. We need to change the way we think. And we need to believe the good news. And a believing is something more than just giving intellectual assent to it. Believing is where you actually embrace it and it becomes a part of who you are. That's the truth that sets you free. You might hear the truth and you might say, I don't get it. I've heard the truth, but it doesn't seem to be, you know, setting me free. Well, you've heard the truth, but you've not been able to actually embrace the truth. It's in the embracing of truth that freedom really comes to you and I. And so sometimes there's a disconnect. We also know that at times that we can intellectually embrace something and we might believe that we've actually experientially embraced it and there's a deception there. You can always take a look at the fruit of your life as a way to, as an indication of whether you've actually embraced the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a good test. is to look at your life, look at your behaviors, look at your attitudes, look at your actions, and that will indicate whether you've had a fully embraced, redeemed experience with the Lord Jesus Christ that is ongoing and transforming. And so this isn't a spectator sport. This is stepping into the kingdom and actually allowing God to transform us and to change us. Now, the beautiful thing is he does that in a process. Some have said that if we've experienced the full revelation of the kingdom of God at one time, it'd kill us, okay? And that may be true. I don't know. It depends upon what needs to take place. However, we have a faithful God who has begun a good work in us, and he is faithful to complete that work. Our job is to cooperate with the work of the Spirit. You and I are to cooperate with the work of the Spirit. If we don't, then we don't see the full fruit of what God really wants to do in our lives. And we can tell by whether our life has actually changed. If we're still stuck in a particular area, or if we still operate out of a particular fallenness or brokenness, we realize that the kingdom has not penetrated that. Now, there's no shame in that. You know that shame is just the flip side of pride. Shame doesn't work in the kingdom. It's a messy thing, and it destroys us. It's the way the enemy drives us back into Egypt. And so shame is not a part of our lives. It needs to be let go of. We need to let go of it in order so that we can actually embrace the truth and see the transformation. So, Christ's message is always his message to the fallen world, and it's our message to the world around us. We need to repent from the lies of the enemy and believe Jesus. Jesus is king, and his kingdom is now available to you and I. We need to receive him, and we need to receive the way he thinks in order that we would then abandon the worldly thought processes. And actually, I think some of the words that came this morning during our Holy Spirit time were talking about that, actually expressing that. You and I need to make room for Jesus completely and to allow his kingdom to touch every aspect of our lives. It is God's desire for his Godhead to rule and reign in the earth and in an active way, not just in an intellectual way. So what is the good news? The good news is that God's good creation has now been restored. What was lost in the garden has now been restored, is now available to you and I. It's legally been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you and I have the opportunity to take hold of that. This response is more than an intellectual agreement. And this believing means that through our whole life, God permeates and transforms us. This kind of belief requires that we respond to follow Jesus. If you notice that Jesus is saying, follow me, he's not asking you to follow an intellect. He's not asking you to follow a theology. He's asking you to follow him. That is very different than other worldly religions, okay? You are to follow him in a relationship with him. Jesus calls us to follow him. He calls us to himself, not as a philosophy or a religion or an ideology, but a personal relationship. We abandon our old lives to go after Jesus, and Jesus then promises to remake us in his image. And he calls these individuals in this particular passage from being fishermen to fishers of men. It is important for you and I to know that the object of Jesus is people. It's you and I. It's not programs, it's not buildings, and it's not religious activities. Yet you may have experienced that in the church. It's not unusual for a church to actually want to gather a large group of people with their resources in order to actually facilitate the building of programs and buildings and religious activities. But that's not the kingdom of God. You and I are not objects designed to be used in order to produce soulish or fleshly works in the name of Jesus. You are objects of God's love designed to come into relationship with him and be transformed as a result of his love touching you and I. His goal is you and I. His goal are people, not religious programs, buildings, or activities. And yet, we see in the church today, particularly the Western church, we see that much of the kingdom has been tipped upside down in the wrong way and has actually allowed people to not receive the full message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom message is proclaimed and Jesus' kingdom reign is extended over all of his followers. Jesus then launches his kingdom ministry. As we look at the next section, we see that the two ways the kingdom ministry is expressed is the word. In other words, the message of God's rule and reign is delivered in power and authority. It's kind of interesting how the people in the synagogue said it's different than the religious leaders. There's a power, there's an authority. That's exactly what God wants in your life and in mine. Power and authority, his power and authority. Because it is something that people perceive, they recognize, they understand. Why? We were created to experience the power and the authority of God. He made us that way. And so when we come in contact with individuals who are filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is it changes the climate. It changes the culture. It changes everything around them. And that's then noticeable. And so you and I need to be so filled with the Spirit that it changes the culture around us. Now you might think, don't worry about it. The enemy does nothing but create fear in our lives. Stop it. Stop being afraid of the kingdom of darkness. Let God boldly flow through you and I. Now, it doesn't mean you pick a Bible up and you beat everyone over the head with it and say, you need to get saved, okay? You know, Mara tells me, make sure that you tell them what you're saying and also make sure that you tell them what you're not saying, okay? Because we can get things kind of messed up. Doesn't mean that we become religious zealots that are attempting to drag people into the church. No, we live a life of power and authority before them, and it is noticeable, and it gives us open doors and opportunities. So the kingdom is expressed in two ways. It's the word, it's the message of God's rule and reign, and then it's the work. In this particular situation, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and they recognized his power and authority. And then a demonic presence manifests in this individual. Now, it's interesting, the language there. There were multiple demons. Us, have you come to torment us? Now, really what was going on there, and this is not my idea, but those kingdom teachers, what they're saying here is that the understanding is that these particular demonic forces knew that their time was coming to a close. They didn't know if this was the time or if it was going to be later. Because when Jesus finally dies and gives his life, there's a real release of the kingdom. Okay? And so what happens here is these demons are saying, unfair. Our time shouldn't be up. What are you doing here? We know who you are. Stay away from us. That's what they're saying. And Jesus says, be quiet, shut up, okay, and get out of here. He threw him out, okay? Now, that is a beautiful picture of the work of the kingdom. The work, casting out a demon in this case, when the rule and reign comes, the enemy responds. Why? They manifest, okay? Jews wanted the Messiah to deliver them physically from the Roman Empire. Kingdom ministry reveals the true enemy, which is Satan himself and his demons. Kingdom ministry overthrows the kingdom of darkness. That is what is supposed to be taking place in our lives. The kingdom of God comes to us, and out of us and through us, we see the overthrowing of the kingdom of darkness. Now, maybe you've not seen that much activity in your life. I want to encourage you. There's more. Okay, this isn't a a place where you're to be ashamed of, oh, I just really haven't seen much. Okay, that's where you're at. There's more. There's more. There's more for you and I. And let's not worry about what we haven't seen take place. Let's actually devote our energies to a loving relationship with God that allows the open door for the kingdom to be revealed in our lives. Today's a new day. Let's maximize what God wants to do in and through our lives and see what he has for us. So what are the implications for our life? Jesus steps into the center of human life and he identifies with them. He takes on a fleshly form. The kingdom is expressed in a daily activity for Jesus, and it should be expressed in our lives. Now, it might not look exactly like we may not be casting out demons every day, okay? You know? I don't know that Jesus did that every day. But we will see activity by the power of the Spirit in our lives. And we can rest in that and trust in that. That Jesus wants to change us. And sometimes that kingdom expression is a transformation of our own personal life. And sometimes it's something that takes place through us as it is imparted to someone else. But we follow Jesus and we model Jesus and we proclaim the truth. And we then see the demonstration of the truth in our lives. Jesus' kingdom rule and reign is extended over a greater number of people. Jesus left. He said, I need to go. I need to send the Holy Spirit so that I can amass an army that actually brings the kingdom to earth. And that's what's happening in you and I, that God has drafted you as a part of the army to bring the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we have decided we are here and we're reporting for duty. Lord, when we signed up with you, you drafted us into your army. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not resist the call, but rather give ourselves to the call. Lord, if there are things within our own lives that are preventing us from living to the fullest, the call that you have for us, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to those places with the truth. Because if we know the truth and we experience the truth, it will bring freedom to us. And so, Lord, we look forward to the freedom that you have for us. We look forward to your word speaking enlightenment and truth into our lives to touch those places where the enemy is held on to us. In some way, we ask that you would break the power of the work of the enemy in order that we might be free to serve you completely and totally. Lord, we desire to see the kingdom expanded, not only in our own life, but through our life, that it might touch the world around us. Lord, you've called us to something magnificent. And so, Lord God, may we not waste it, but rather may we be good stewards of what you've called us to in order that you might be glorified and we pray that in the